Well, good morning and welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Who takes care of us when we get older? How do we take care of mom and dad? How do we make wise decisions? We're going to talk about the second pillar of long-term care planning this morning, so you'll want to stick around. Glad to have you with us. 18 years right here on KFBK doing what I do. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. California's single best source for information on the issues of aging. There's lots of Johnny-come-latelys. There's lots of people who have followed me. But this is still the original, the longest running, the original source for information on the issues of aging. How do we take care of the people we love? How do we take care of ourselves? How do we take care of a spouse? How do we do all the things that we're going to need to do as we get older? Remember, I got to say all this stuff, folks, so bear with me. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one that knows what the heck they're talking about. I have a California insurance license, a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County, which allows me to prepare legal documents, including trusts and powers of attorney and such, at your direction. I am not securities licensed. I don't want to be. As I sit here this morning recording this show, the market has gone down 500 points in the last 2 weeks, or 400 points, whatever it is. Everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal, tax, or other advice. Doesn't mean it's not correct, just means it's my opinion only. Don't forget, you can get information. You can contact me by calling me. My phone number is 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. You can also go to my website, assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging, A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com. And there you can sign up for one of my upcoming workshops. My next upcoming workshop is October the 22nd. Right here in Sacramento. You can look for my ads in the B starting tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. You can sign up online. You can call to sign up, and we'll get you a ticket. So if you haven't been to one of my workshops, you're going to want to come. My workshops are not like anything you've ever been to. I know you've all been to other workshops, and you think that you understand and you think you've learned something, but until you've been to one of mine, you haven't been to a workshop. We're going to talk about things nobody else talks about. You can get on my email newsletter list. It's free. You can send me an email. You can listen to my podcast. Every Wednesday I do a live podcast on my website. And if you scroll down on my website, you can find my archived radio shows and podcasts and listen to them and become informed. The purpose of this show is to drive people to action. One of the things I've been consistent in doing for all the time I've been doing this, which is over a quarter of a century and 18 years here on KFBK, is informing people. But at the end of the day, my job is to get you to act. I've talked about this a lot on this show, and I'm going to keep talking about it. Dr. Atul Gawande, in his brilliant book, Being Mortal, which was a Times number one bestseller for a year, and there was a PBS special on it, says in his book, it is inevitable as the sunset that we will all lose independence as we get older, that we will all become dependent on someone else as we get older. It's going to happen. It's not optional. We don't have a choice. Well, we do. Dying will stop it. But other than that, we are going to get older, and we live to ages that 50 years ago no one thought we would live to. Remember when Social Security was implemented, the average age was 55 for a male. That's why they picked 65, because they thought no one would live that long. Now we have people, I'm 71 years old and I'm still working. I have lots of friends who are still working. We don't retire at 50 or 55 anymore. We don't put in 30 years at the factory and then retire. We live long, long time. And for most of us, almost all of us, at the end of that long time of life, we're going to be dependent on someone else. It could be a family member, it could be an agency, it could be a caregiver, it could be a nursing home, it could be all kinds of things. But we're going to lose independence. I got an email from someone the other day who has a debilitating neurological disease and has had it for a really long time. And both the person that wrote me the email and their spouse are in complete denial about where this is going. And at one point when talking to them, I said, why did you even bother to write me? Why did you even bother to ask me to call you? Because at the end of the day, you believe it's not going to get worse. At the end of the day, you believe you're going to handle this. And at the end of the day, folks, they are not going to be able to handle it. One of the hardest tasks I face is getting people to be realistic about the issues of aging. And today I want to talk about the second pillar. You know, I've been asking the same two questions for 25 years. Who's going to take care of me and how are we going to pay for it? Today, I want to talk about the second pillar. The second pillar is how am I going to pay for care if at the end of life I lose independence? I talked to someone on the phone again yesterday. This is why you should get to my workshop, because we talk about it at length. I had someone call me yesterday and they were talking about their mom, and we're talking about their mom, and I'm going through the ADLs, the activities of daily living, and I'm saying, can mom walk by herself? Well, no, not really. Can mom dress herself? Well, no, not really. Can mom toilet herself and take care of personal hygiene unassisted? No, not really. Can mom prepare her own food without assistance? No. Can mom stand up out of a chair without assistance? No, not really. The only one of the six ADLs that mom could do is mom could feed herself. And then I said, how long has mom been falling? And they said, well, she's fallen a couple times. And I said, is somebody there with her 24 hours a day? And they said, no. We have some caregivers from time to time. By the way, they're not licensed caregivers, and we're paying them under the table, which has its own set of problems. But no, they're not there all the time. And I said, what happens when mom falls and the caregiver comes in and calls the fire department and calls the ambulance? And at the end of the discussion, they still didn't get it. So my job for a quarter of a century has been to educate and to convince people that they need to take action on independence and making sure you or your loved one can stay independent. And when you can't be independent anymore, who's going to take care of you and how are you going to pay for it? So let's talk about how you're going to pay for it. Let's take a really classic case. A client with a $300,000 house, married. Let's do married. I'll try to remember to do single too. But the same thing holds for single, only some of the questions are more difficult if you're single. And they're really difficult if you're single and you've never been married and you don't have children. So we have a married couple that has a house and they have $150,000 in savings or savings in IRAs or savings in mutual funds or check, whatever it is. They have a house worth about $300,000 and it's paid for. And they have about $150,000 in the bank or wherever it is. By the way, I checked it with bankrate.com yesterday, and the average one-year CD in the United States is 1% or less. Now, if inflation is 2%, and we may expand on this later, if inflation's 2%, which is about where it is, the Federal Reserve's trying to get it up to 3 to 4%, but if inflation's at 2% or less, and you're making 1% on your CD, how much money are you making? You're going backwards because your dollars are losing buying value down the road. And so when you need care, the dollars you have are not going to buy as much care as you maybe could afford today. So when we talk about money, again, let's go back to our example. $300,000 house. And $150,000 in the bank, and Dad develops dementia. Let's keep it simple. And in the beginning, Dad's not too bad. Dad, you know, he's doing okay. Now, one of the questions I asked the couple that wrote me the other day, in which one of them has a debilitating neurological disease, is I said the following: who's going to be the caregiver? And they said, well, the spouse. And I said, what happens if the spouse dies first? What happens if the spouse hurts their back while trying to lift the ill spouse? What happens if the spouse has a stroke? What happens if the spouse has a heart attack? What happens if the spouse falls down a step and breaks a hip? Well, they didn't have an answer to that. So in the normal set of circumstances, I don't worry about money. I don't worry about the second pillar of long-term care, which is how am I going to pay for it, because my spouse is going to take care of me. So in the beginning, Dad has a little dementia, and it's not too bad. In fact, Dad even drives for a little while. He still goes to the barber shop, and he still goes out to dinner with friends, and he's still able to drive a little bit. But pretty soon, it's clear that Dad shouldn't be doing that anymore. And then pretty soon it's clear that Dad can't remember his granddaughter's name. And by the way, this could be Mom. I'm just using Dad. Or it could be your mother. Or it could be your grandfather. Or it could be whoever. Don't get locked into the example. So pretty soon, Mom is now taking care of getting Dad dressed, helping him with the laundry, making sure he hasn't put the dirty clothes in the refrigerator, which has happened before, making sure he doesn't wander out the front door. And as Dad progresses, because remember, Mom's his caregiver, who's taking care of Dad? Now, what is it doing? I'm getting to the money part, folks. Stay with me. But this story has been repeated thousands and thousands of times in my career. Everybody sitting out there knows somebody that this is happening to. Everybody. Everybody. For some of you, it's happening in your family today, and you're in complete and total denial about what's happening. So, anyhow, Mom continues to take care of Dad. The children are totally uninvolved because they don't want to get involved, and Mom doesn't want to be a burden on the children. So the children come over once in a while, but as Dad gets a little weirder, the children don't come over so much because they don't know how to deal with Dad. And if Dad is angry or Dad strikes out, they really don't know what to do about it. So now we're getting to the money part. So pretty soon, Mom finally says, or the children finally say, if they're involved and if they're honest, Mom, we got to get some help in the house. Now, Mom and Dad, remember, have a $300,000 house, $150,000 in the bank, and $3,500 a month of income. They're doing okay. So now they have to get some help in the house, and they decide to get help in the house 4 hours a day to help Mom do the laundry, maybe to watch Dad while Mom goes out grocery shopping or runs errands or whatever. So they decide to get somebody in the house for 4 hours a day, 3 days a week. Now, a caregiver is going to cost $25 an hour. So that's $300 a week times four is $1,200 a month. Now, remember, that's not round the clock. That's just 4 hours a day, 3 days a week. And mom and dad are now spending $1,200 of their $3,500 salary or income. They're not working anymore. They still have taxes. They still have peanut butter to buy. They still have gasoline. They're still paying insurance on two cars, even though dad doesn't drive anymore. They still have a motorhome sitting in the garage, in the driveway. They still have to pay the electric. They still have to pay all that kind of stuff. Dad has some hygiene issues, so they have to buy more clothing for dad. But it's okay for a while. Dad starts getting worse. Dad is, he's now really difficult, and it's getting really hard for mom in the time that the caregiver's not there for her to deal with dad. So they now have, they now up this to 4 hours a day, 6 days a week, because one of the kids comes over on Sunday to give mom some help. Now we're talking about $600 a week times 4 weeks in a month, we're talking about $2,400 a month going to the caregiver. Remember, mom and dad had $3,500 a month of income. They're now down to $1,100 a month. So they have now begun to do what? Come on, some of you know, you've already way ahead of me. They have begun to tap savings. So they are now tapping savings. They've had to increase the amount of the IRA, which may have increased tax liability. All of those kinds of things. So they have now begun to deplete their capital. Now, here's the thing about depleting capital. And it's this. First of all, it may create capital gains taxes. Because, again, I'm not a tax guy. This is my opinion. Because mom and dad had their money in mutual funds, and the mutual funds have grown over the last few years. And so when they cash some of that in, it creates a capital gains tax. So for mom and dad to take $1,000 out of their brokerage account may really cost them $1,200 or $1,300 after you include the tax liability it's created. The other thing that mom and dad don't realize that has happened, which is going to come back to haunt them in a few years, is that when they took that $10,000 out to help pay for the care, they lost all the, because they can't replace it, they're not working anymore, they lost all of the future interest that that $10,000 could have made. So not only did they lose the $10,000 when they took it out of their savings account, they lost all the future interest. So again, the $10,000 may have had a real net cost to them of $12,000 or $13,000 because they can't replace that $10,000. Now, stay with me because we're talking about the second pillar, which is money. And the scenario I am talking to you about has happened thousands of times in my career. Not a dozen, thousands. And it's happening to thousands, if not tens of thousands, of people in Sacramento as I sit here and talk. It finally gets to the point where, you know, we need more caregiving. And round-the-clock caregiving is way too expensive. Way too expensive. Because mom realizes that to hire a round-the-clock caregiver would cost her $8,000 to $12,000 a month or more. And she clearly, clearly does not have $8,000 to $12,000. Now she'd be going through money like a sieve. So mom starts looking around for a place for dad. And she finds a nice little boarding care, and it's $4,500 a month. That's about normal. $4,000 to $5,000 a month for a little boarding care, or it maybe she finds a little studio in an assisted living. That's you know, $4,000 to $6,000 a month. But let's just use $4,500. Now remember, I said that mom's income and dad's income is $3,500 a month. So they're $1,000 a month upside down just on care, not counting the cost of maintaining mom and mom's house and mom's car and mom's electric bill and mom's food and groceries and mom's health insurance and mom's gasoline and all of that stuff. So now they are starting to burn through savings at a rate of $20,000 to $30,000 a year. Maybe more. Now, again, if they've had to cash in stocks or cash in mutual funds or whatever it is, there may be an additional tax cost to that. It might be offset, you talk to your tax advisor, by the cost of the care, but there may be a tax liability. In addition, that $30,000 that mom is pulling out every year to take care of dad, when dad eventually dies, what happens to their income? Their income is going to go down. And it's going to go down because at the very least, they're going to lose one Social Security check. So now mom's got 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70, depending on how many years this goes on, less capital to make up for the decrease in income that's going to come when dad dies because they've been pulling all this money out to provide for his care. And believe me when I tell you the following, they know this is going on and they are in a panic. And I'll tell you this, as sure as I'm sitting here, they're not telling their kids about their panic. And the kids may see it, but they're not going to intervene. And so the second pillar of long-term care, first one is who's going to take care of me, the second one is how am I going to pay for it, is beginning to have a severe adverse influence on mom and dad. Now, again, I'm using mom and dad. It could be grandma and grandpa. It could be just your spouse. It could be whoever. Again, don't limit the scope based on my example. The issue is money and the management of money to stay independent and to deal with. Remember, mom wanted to keep dad home as long as possible. Why? Because we all want to stay home. Everybody wants to stay home. I want to stay home. My neighbors want to stay home. My friends want to stay home. But mom found out it cost money, and there was some money there. But by the time dad dies, mom's income is down to $2,000 a month, and there's no longer $150,000 in the bank. There's $50,000 in the bank. And mom's life has been radically changed. Because no one, at the very beginning, when they first noticed dad had a little memory problem, nobody began to address the second pillar, which is money, and how am I going to use it, and how am I going to make it last, and what benefits are available to me, government benefits, to help protect it, and how can I do this? And are there greater returns available somewhere than the CD down at the bank or the money market that's at negative interest? The money is, you know, you've heard the old saying, money is the root of all evil. Well, you know, there's lots of things about money, but one of the things we don't talk about is that long-term care is the single greatest obliterator of savings on the face of the planet. It costs a lot of money to take care of someone. Do you have a plan in place? Do you have a purpose in place to deal with the money that you have and make sure that when dad needs it or mom needs it or you need it, that you've not only protected as much as you can so that you can take care of dad, but that you've also protected what you have so that when dad is gone and used up a bunch of money on care, we have not altered mom's life, not for the better, but for the worse, for the rest of her life. You have to be willing, and we're going to talk about it at the workshop, so make sure you get to the workshop upcoming. You can sign up on my website, or you can call me at 800-999-8007 and I'll send you a ticket. But you need to deal with it now. After the money's gone, it's too late. I can't tell you how many people have walked into my office over the years and have lost $100,000, and I have to look them in the eye and say, you didn't need to lose anything, but I can't get it back. Get in to see me. Make sure you don't become a financial victim when you don't have to be. Call me at 800-999-8007 or go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Send me an email. Tell me you want to get in to see me. The consultation is free. We're going to be back in a little bit, just a couple minutes, for some news and some other cool things and traffic and weather and all that good stuff. So stick with us. More to talk about right here on Assets and Aging. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Give me a call, 800-999-8007 during the break. We'll see you in a second. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. We've been talking about the second pillar of long-term care. The first one is who's going to take care of me. The second one is money. I want to continue with that thought a little bit because it's really important. It's what's going to allow me to stay independent as long as possible. In the absence of protecting what you have, then you're left with very few choices. You're left with very few choices. A lot of people in nursing homes who have been there for a long time might have been able to put that off had they had the resources to provide care for themselves somewhere else. So I want to talk about the resources that are available to you. Let me give you my contact information again. Remember, you can always reach me at my toll-free number. Even here in Sacramento, it's toll-free, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. You can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com. You can send me an email. You can listen to archived radio shows and podcasts. You can sign up for the workshop coming up next weekend. You can do all of those kinds of things. So make sure you get in contact with me and make sure. I mean, I've been doing this a long time, folks. I'm better at it than most. And if I don't have answers, I know people that do. The other thing I want to tell you when we talk about all of this stuff, there's no answer for everybody. There's an answer, but there's never the answer. So when I give illustrations or I talk about examples, I want you to understand them just as that. Examples, illustrations, may or may not apply to your life, for your life or your family's life. It may have to be tweaked just a little bit. But it's something that everybody needs to think about and needs to get involved in and needs to seek out the answer that's the answer for their family, not the answer for everybody, but the answer for your family and your situation. The good news, it's available. There's always an answer. Always. It's amazing to me how many people still refuse to admit what's going on in their family and still refuse and pretend that it's not happening. Let's talk about money some more. When we look at long-term care, we have to look at all of the resources that we have in terms of long-term care, not just in terms of buying peanut butter and paying the rent or the mortgage or the legacy we're going to leave our children. We need to look at everything we have in terms of its long-term care benefit. I'm not talking about long-term care insurance. I'm talking about what happens to us as we lose independence. So if I've got $150,000 in the bank, or whatever the number is, how long would it pay for care so that I can stay independent? So if I need, four hours a day, 6 days a week, okay, that's 24 hours in a week. 6 times 4 is 24. At $25 an hour, you figure it out. Okay, so if I need 24 hours of care a week times $25 an hour, it's $500-$600 a month, might be $20 an hour, might be $30 an hour, but it's $500-$600 a week, it's $2,000-$3,000 a month just for part-time care. So if I'm going to spend $3,000 a month on part-time care just so I can stay at home, how does that impact the capital that I have, the cash that I have? How does that impact it? What if I've got $150,000 at $3,000 a month, that's $36,000 a year, how long will my $150,000 pay for long-term care, will pay for my ability to stay home? The answer is about 4 years. At the end of 4 years, I have no money left to keep me or mom or dad or grammy or grampy at home. Remember, everybody wants to stay home. Remember that all of us are going to become dependent on someone else as we're staying at home or wherever we are as we get older. Who's that caregiver going to be is number one question. Number two is, how am I going to pay for that? So my $150,000, when I convert it and look at it as a long-term care benefit, how long will it last? If I have to go to assisted living, and assisted living is costing me because I don't want to go to a nursing home, I can't stay at home, but I don't want to go to a nursing home, assisted living is costing me $50,000 to $60,000 a year. So if I look at my savings, how long will the $50,000 to $60,000 allow me to stay independent in assisted living or independent living? 3 years or less. So what I have, you have to rethink what you have, or your mom and dad has, or whoever we're talking about, in terms of its ability to keep me independent, its ability to keep me free. And I don't care what that $150,000 or $200,000 is in. Now, some things have a risk of loss without anything happening. So for instance, if you're in the stock market, you could lose money. You can make money, but you can lose money. If you're in bonds, you can lose money. Yes, you can lose money in bonds. You can't lose income, but you could lose the value of the bonds if you had to sell them at the wrong time. Remember, just my opinion only, not a stockbroker, not giving you financial advice, just telling you what I know. So you have to look at what you have and say, is there an underlying risk? So in other words, if I have $150,000 today to pay for long-term care and the stock market goes down 10% and I'm in the stock market, maybe now I only have $110,000 or $120,000 or $130,000 to pay for care. You understand what I'm saying? If I have a variable annuity, which is in the stock market, I'm paying a fee to have that variable annuity of anywhere from 1% to 2.5% to 3% a year. Well, if I'm making 2% and I'm paying 2% in fees, how much am I making? And if I have to sell it at the wrong time to get my hands on capital, that may cost me money. So you have to take a look at what you have and figure out if you needed it to pay for long-term care. If you had to sell it to pay for long-term care, is there a possibility you could lose money? Or even if you didn't need it, is your money someplace where you could lose money? Is your money someplace, and there are things that will do this, folks, is there money? Is your money somewhere that will pay you a guaranteed income that never changes for the rest of your life, no matter how long you live, if you live 20 years or 30 years or 50 years? So that you always know how much income you're going to get. If you have $100,000 in a savings account, you don't know how much income it's going to produce because the interest rate could be 0.5%, it could be 1%. If you have to cash in a CD, you're going to pay an interest penalty. There are things you can do where you can get a guaranteed income for the rest of your life and it will never change. That gives you the certainty of knowing what's available to you to pay for long-term care. My point is, you have to look at what you have. Is it all in IRAs? So that if I have to take money out to pay for care, it might become taxable. If I have to take money out, if I have to sell my stocks and bonds to help pay for long-term care, I may have a capital gains that I have to pay tax on, which reduces the amount of money that's available for me to pay for long-term care. So when you look at what you have to not just think about it in terms of, oh, gee, it's producing income, and I use that to supplement my income so I can pay buy my groceries or pay the electric bill or whatever. You have to look at the underlying principle as, is it safe and secure and available to pay for my care? And if it is paying for my care, how long would it pay for my care? Does that all make sense? I hope it does. So you have to look at what you have in a different light. I want to talk about your house for a minute. People say to me all the time, what are you talking about my house, Bob? My house goes to my kids when I die. But what if you don't die? What if you go through your money and you still want to stay at home, or you want to stay in the softest level of care? Do you ever think about your house as having the ability to pay for care? I'll bet you most of you never have. But for most of us, that's our single greatest asset. Well, Bob, my house is going to go to my kids when I die. I know, but you're not dead in my world, remember. You're ill, you're frail, you need help, you need care. Are you willing to look at your house? I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you that you, in addition to the money you have in the bank, if what you really want to do is stay independent as long as you can, and we're looking at the second pillar of that, which is money, okay, are you able to look at your house and say, okay, I have a $300,000 house. Are there things I can do to use that money to take care of me if I want to stay at home? How do I use my house? If I go to assisted living, am I willing to rent my house so that it produces an extra $1,000 or $1,500 a month? Now, maybe tax implications of that, but are you willing, and you should talk to a tax guy, but are you willing to look at that and say, wait a minute, I never thought about that, but gosh, if I couldn't stay at home, but I didn't want to go to a nursing home and I could go to a nice assisted living facility, but I don't have quite enough income, would I be willing to do that? Would I be willing to rent my house out to produce an extra $1,000 or $1,500 or $2,000 a month in income so I could stay in the softest level of care possible? Am I willing to consider a reverse mortgage, Bob? I don't sell them, relax. I would never do that. Why? If that's the asset you had and that money allowed you to stay at home, people will say, well, then there'd be nothing to leave my kids. I have to tell you, folks, I don't care about your kids. You're the one that wants to stay home. You're the one that's frail. You're the one losing independence. You have to rethink how you would look at your house. It's not just an asset you want to leave in as an inheritance. It may be an asset you want to rethink for its ability to take care of you and to stay at home. I am not a big fan of reverse mortgages that are used to buy frivolous things like, you know, a trip on the Love Boat or a round the world airplane ride or whatever, because now we've squandered that capital. I am a fan of, in some cases, thinking in terms of reverse mortgages so that mom or dad or whoever it is can stay at home. Well, Bob, doesn't have to get paid off after I die? Yes, it does. It's a loan. But if that meant the difference between you going to assisted living or a nursing home or staying home, which one would you rather do? And by the way, if you go to the assisted living anyhow, you're going to run out of money, or the nursing home, you're going to run out of money, and you're still going to wind up selling your house. So are you willing to look at money in new ways? Are you willing to look at alternatives to the standard CD or savings account or mutual fund or whatever? Are you willing to look at things that may not have any risk to principal, in which you can make more money than a CD? Are you willing to look at things that have a long-term care value? And I'm not talking about long-term care insurance. I don't sell it. If you're looking for it, I'll refer you to the best guy I know of on the planet who handles long-term care insurance. I'm trying to get you to look at money, the second pillar of long-term care, in a different way. At the workshop, we'll be talking about this in more detail. But I want you to begin to open your mind and to look at what you have. Sit down with the yellow pad and say, when people walk into my office, the first thing I ask them is, how much are you going to sell me your house for today? And what I'm trying to do is get them to tell me what it's worth. And so they'll hem and haw, and I say, I don't care what the number is. Come up with a number. And we make people do this at the workshop, by the way. I have a little sheet in which they go through a little math problem to figure this out. It's really helpful to people. And they'll say, the house is worth $300,000. Okay, all right. And then I'll say, okay, and how much in cash assets do you have? If you liquidated all your cash assets today, not the furniture, your cash assets, how much would you have? Well, we'd have $200,000. How much of that is IRAs? $50,000. Okay, how much do you have every month in income? $3,500. Okay, so you got a house worth $300,000. You got $200,000 in the bank, $150,000 of which is non-IRA, and you got $3,500 a month of income. Okay, so if Harvey tomorrow had a stroke and had to go to the nursing home at $10,000 a month, how long would what you have last? And they look at me, and they don't know what to say, because the question hasn't sunk in yet. And the reason it hasn't sunk in is because there's no possibility in their life that Harvey would ever have a stroke and go, why? Because they're going to stay home until the day they die. Less than 15% of all the people in the United States who die, die at home. And most of those die because they had a heart attack and the ambulance didn't get there in time. They don't die asleep in bed, surrounded by their family after a long illness. That doesn't happen much anymore. So what Harvey and his wife haven't confronted is the possibility that they could be struck with a long-term care catastrophe. And they've never thought about what they have, the money they have, in terms of its ability to pay for long-term care. That's what I'm trying to do today for all of you listening. I'm trying to get you to think about money in a new way. I'm trying to get you to think about money not in terms of how much you make on it, but in terms of how long would it last if you needed it to last. How long would it last if you're single and you don't have a spouse? Now compound this problem. Because in the early days, remember, of Dad's dementia, who was taking care of him? His wife was, or vice versa. If you're single, you don't have that option. If you're single, Who's going to take care of you and how are you going to pay them? Again, let's focus on the second one. How are you going to pay them? It's not going to be your spouse. Is one of your kids going to move in? Are you going to pay them? Are they going to? Somewhere in my stack of stuff, I have this statistic on how much it costs children, how much money children lose because of having to quit their job or taking money out of their own bank accounts to take care of an ill loved one, because no one ever thought about what the costs were going to be and how we were going to manage those costs. So if you're single, this problem becomes more acute, especially if you're single and you've never had children. Now who's going to take care of you and how are you going to pay them? In most cases, it's going to be an agency. It's going to be a caregiver that you're paying $10,000 a month to, or $8,000 a month to, or more than that. I've had clients spend as much as $20,000 a month paying for in-home care. So if you're paying $10,000 a month, if you're single, and you're paying $10,000 a month to keep yourself at home, how long will what you have last? What's its long-term care value? That's why this whole show has been about money. Because I want you to think a lot about money when it comes to long-term care. Everybody thinks about long-term care in this, I'll never go into a nursing home. I'm not going to a nursing home. Okay. Don't go to a nursing home. Stay at home. Who's going to pay for that to keep you at home? Well, I'll always be able to take care of myself, Bob. That's a fool's paradise, folks. That's just foolish thinking. Yeah, I know. We all know somebody that did that. But we all know 10 people that didn't do that. In my case, I know thousands of people that didn't do that. What's the population of Sacramento? I don't know, a couple million? I don't know what it is, a couple million. I'll guarantee you there are a minimum of 200,000 people in Sacramento County. In Sacramento County, maybe there's 3 million, whatever it is. At least 20% of them, 25% of them are taking care of somebody. A parent, a grandparent, a spouse, a disabled child. I'll guarantee you. They're doing that today as we speak. And the other thing I will guarantee you, it is costing them a lot of money. So sit down with a yellow pad when the show's over, a piece of paper, and write down. You don't have to have it to the penny. You don't have to write down the value in every bank account. Write down the value of your house minus the mortgage. Write down the amount of cash that you have. Stocks, bonds, savings, CDs, checking, money markets, whatever it is. Write it down. Write down a number. It doesn't have to be exact. Now, say, if I needed to spend $5,000 a month on my care for 5 years or 6 years or 7 years, how long would my money last? It's a really interesting exercise. And it's an exercise you need to do. Because it's really, really, really important. If you don't have the answer to that question, you're going to be the one, or your family's going to be the one, sitting in my office after they've gone through all the money, looking for government help to figure out what to do. And they're putting mom or dad in a nursing home because they have run out of money to keep mom or dad at home or in assisted living. And the reality is it didn't have to happen. But we never gave any thought to the second pillar of long-term care, which is, how am I going to pay for it? What's the long-term care value of everything I have? You have a couple ways to do this. Come in and see me. My consultation is free. If you're serious about it, if it's meaningful to you, and you don't want to be one of the people that winds up losing everything, then come in and see me. All you have to do is call my phone. Call it now. You'll get a voicemail, but I'll call you back. 800-999-8255. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Don't be fooled by all the other junk that's out there, all the other seminars that are out there, all the $299 trust baloney that's out there, all the other people who are telling you they have the answer. You need to find the answer for your life, not for the guy sitting next to you or your neighbor or your brother Fred. There is no the answer for everybody. So get in to see me, 800-999-8007. Get to my workshop. Go to my webpage. You can call that number or go to my webpage, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging, assetsandaging.com. Go there, send me an email, sign up for the workshop, but begin to take control of your finances so that when you begin to lose independence, you can say to yourself, I've figured this out. I've set up a plan to manage my money, not only to buy me peanut butter, not only to leave to the kids, but to make sure I get to stay independent and get to stay at home, or if not home, in the softest level of care possible for the rest of my life. If you do not engage in this exercise, if you do not get serious about this, you will be the one whose family is sitting in front of me saying, we've gone through $200,000. What do we do now? 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Listen to my podcasts. Listen to my past radio shows. They're all archived on my website. Bring the family in. Get to the workshop. But begin to take action. Information is wonderful. Information without action is useless. 800-999-8007. I look forward to hearing from you. Look forward to seeing you at a future workshop or in my office. We'll be back here again next week, same time, same place, with more information right here and more calls to action on assets and aging, affording the future.